It's January 13th, and the Bears still beat the Packers in the playoffs. So this hour is brought to you by Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Bears.
This just in, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football pre- and post-game show co-host.
And then Caleb, each week or each other week, it seems like he outdoes himself with some miraculous throw. That throw you're talking about on 4th and 8, like, quarterbacks all on Twitter are like, what the heck is that? Like, that might be the greatest throw of the season. And we've said that about 3 other ones he's had. But to have to do that in the 4th quarter, I think it was 4th and 8. I can't even remember my stats anymore.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Stats. Who cares about stats?
Yeah.
I know.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can. The artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so the artwork's great. The beer's great.
Patrick Manley with Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
We love having Patrick Manley on Tuesdays, especially because, well, as we just said, this is a Bears playoff win edition, our discussion with Patrick Manelli. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Patrick Manelli, when did it set in for you that the Bears actually won that game?
Today. And I'll be honest with you, because I rewatched the condensed version on that NFL, app or whatever today again, and you still can't believe at 21-3, that they came back and won that game, because I just remember the emotions of how depressed and upset I was sitting on my couch Saturday night thinking, oh my God, this is the way the season's going to end. So that post-game show, you can hear it in my voice in that post-game show. It's just the excitement. You couldn't believe it. Couldn't fall asleep till later after the show. And you wake up the next day and you just still can't believe it, but you got to move on to the Rams, which is exciting to be able to talk about playoff week 2, but guys, it's just, what a game, what a way to win, and just the excitement in the city is just, it's insane.
Patrick, because you are the longest tenured Bear, I need your thoughts, your reaction to Ben Johnson's actions and then the comments that followed said actions, and if you ever thought there'd be a day when George McCaskey would be on board with such vulgar language.
Hell yeah, I love it. I love it, man. I wrote it down. I don't like that team. That's what he said. I mean, that's just awesome. I mean, he's taken this rivalry and embraced it. He's taken this team and embraced it. He's taken the city and embraced it with what he's done with the Wiener Circle. But I love it. I mean, build it up. Build it to what it is. It'll never probably be the Forrest Gregg, Mike Ditka hate for each other. But there's no problem with a little dislike. It is a rivalry. And George McCaskey's always talked about it. The McCaskeys have talked about it. And Marshall, when I got to the Bears in 1998, that's one of the first things you heard was about the rivalry with the Green Bay Packers. And I just love the way he is all in on it. The handshake after the game was fantastic. And, what he said about beating Green Bay twice a year, he talked it into existence and made it happen. So I'm all for it, man. I am all for it.
What has been happening with the Bears, Patrick, is absolutely amazing. And just hearing Olin coming into the segment here saying, never mind the stats don't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm almost tempted to say, and I know this is what we do, this is what you do really well, and that is to analyze. But it's almost like all the analyzing doesn't even matter. I thought I made a pretty strong case last week for reasons why the Packers were going to win the game.
Yeah, how do you feel this week, buddy?
Woo! Well, it's sort of I deserve it.
Yeah, you do. All of it.
You know where
Is there a pay deduction this week for you working there? We got to talk to Mitch and strike a little money out of that paycheck.
Yeah, there's been some. Let's just put it this way. I've been given a warning. Warning. I've been properly warned for picking the Packers to beat the Bears in a playoff game.
How would you handle this on a team, Patrick? What's the appropriate? Is there a fine? What happens?
I didn't play for the Bears, by the way. I just want that to be made very clear.
Okay,
Bears
salary.
Grody into the cold tub. Put Grody dip him in the cold tub.
Then that's too good. It's good
Big
for
Cat,
you.
Olin and Big Cat would grab you by the ankles and the wrist and then dip you into the cold tub a little bit. That's what they would
do. Yeah, I think
Olin and Big Cat?
Fully clothed?
Yes.
Fully clothed?
My God.
I might have seen that happen a few times.
Of all the people, and I love that they work with us now. So, this could theoretically happen here.
It's sort of like I'm in this sorry, not sorry place because there's nobody who thought or saw what we saw happen on Saturday, saw that actually coming. It's miraculous, no, inexplicable stuff. So, like, if you pick the wrong team, if you pick the wrong, there's nobody who picked that to happen in that game. There's no way. No, so, not sorry.
No, it's a special season, man. Yeah. It's a special season. This is one that we'll never forget. It goes down to everybody still talks about the 2001 back-to-back wins, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the 85 Bears, our run of the Super Bowl, NFC Championship. This is a season, you know, the last time they were in the playoffs, 2018, when they were really in the playoffs. You know, that's a season that's kind of remembered, but this one will go down. You know what I mean? As the whole season will be remembered, all these miraculous comebacks. And also, I think what's going to be remembered, guys, is the coming out party for Caleb Williams. That's the biggest thing.
Well, man.
We see we've got one.
Beginning of this season, that was my goal for this year. Yes. Let me know that it was on the intro. I think we just recently removed it from the intro of our podcast as we refresh things. But my thing, you know what I'm talking about. You listen to the all I said was TTN. All I want is to know that the Bears have a quarterback. That was where I set the bar for this season. I know the Bears have a quarterback going into next season now, and I'm very excited about. But then we got the bonus here, too.
Now, and it's 100%. That's all we wanted. And, guys, listening to, I think it was your last segment you guys played, his speech in the locker room, it's his team now. That's what I hear in that. The reaction of guys giving him some crap, to cheering him on, to say get emotional, to watching everybody's face, if you watch it on YouTube, to watch their reaction when he speaks, it's his team. And that's another part you wanted to see, not only his development as a quarterback, but to me, the great ones, the quarterback are the face of the franchise, you know, are the leader in the locker room. And you heard that from him, the way he spoke and the way the guys reacted to him. And that was what I got out of that speech, not him getting emotional and talking about Ben Johnson, all that. It's the fact that it's him. He's the guy. He is the man now. And his performance is doing it. And then the way the guys interacted with him, That put me over the edge, and that got me excited to see that when I saw it when it came out.
Well, and Patrick, I think you're echoing a lot of what functioning teams should be doing. You know, here you are talking about Ben Johnson's message. And I said in our first segment of the show, you know, it seems like every time we have a question about this, he's also there to answer it for us in the media, which is another example of leadership. So then to see Caleb Williams, like you mentioned, post game, and then also even what he did during the game, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about him yelling on the sideline. And even like the cheese grater and him doing the Salt Bay with the cheese. I love that his personality is coming out more. Yes. It probably means he's more comfortable. But what do you think about it just from a former player standpoint, seeing a guy kind of come into his own? You know, there's a rookie quarterback time where you're also learning. Like, how can you describe what you're seeing as far as evolution and the leadership part of it?
He's what, 23, correct?
24, I believe.
24 now? Yeah, he's been programmed his entire life, right? Coming from high school to Oklahoma to USC, I believe, this is just my belief, that he's been programmed. He's had somebody, whether it's his dad, an agent, an advisor, that has coached him his entire life, that has kind of kept him in a box. And I think now once you get older as a 24, 25, as he gets older, he's truly going to find out who he is. You know, like, and he's going to become a man. He's really going to become like who he is. And I think that's what's happening. And when I saw him do that face and the cheese grater, I'm like, all right, that's personality. That's coming out now. And hopefully we get to see more of that in his discussions with us at the podium and all that kind of stuff. And his teammates, it sounds like, get to see that more, where it's not the programmed Caleb Williams walking into the locker room, that he's the guy now. Like, he can be himself. He can let it out there and be comfortable. And I think that is part of his growth and part of his leadership, that he'll get – become more of a leader with this team. And I love seeing it. And I feel that he's been programmed. I think a lot of these guys that with the agents now, NIL, you get programmed to kind of stay in this little box, Instagram, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff. You can only have to stay in between these lines, that once you kind of figure out who you are and who you can be, then it really become who you are. And I think that's what we're seeing with Caleb.
Joined now by Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, former Bears long snapper here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score, as he does each and every week during the season. And guess what, Patrick? The season, it continues on. Up next, it's the Rams. It's at Soldier Field. It's later. It's going to be freezing outside. How do you see this next challenge for the Bears? And show me a path to victory. I would not pick against them because, well, I learned my lesson because I was on board with Grody. I didn't see how the Bears are going to win. But as you know, things did what they did.
I will also confess in this moment that I didn't think they were going to win even despite picking them. So like
nobody did. Like I called when they my were dad down, the next morning. Yeah. My dad goes, I was supposed to go to Atlanta this weekend coming up. And he's like, wait, you're not coming? I'm like, Dad, they won the game. He's like, they did? I was like, yeah, I'll see you maybe Monday after the game.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, nobody did. Everybody went to sleep. There's a lot of, I'm actually down here in Florida for a couple days, and a lot of people down here, you know, being the hour ahead, they all went to sleep. They're like, I went to bed before the game. I had no idea they won. I thought the game was over. So I think everybody felt that way.
Yeah, you're going to the cold tub too, pal.
So give me the path, though, Patrick. Seriously.
Because, oh, the path. Sorry.
Because I think they can win the game, not just because they have won games in the shocking fashion that they have, but I can see the path. I'm just curious as to what your impression of the best offense in football in the Rams and how they can either keep up with or slow down. I think it's probably going to be keep up and not slow down.
I'm going to put it on Caleb Williams' shoulders again. I think that's the way playoff wins happen and how you win Super Bowls. These quarterbacks get hot and they play well, and obviously your defense has to step up. So I think takeaways is one, but what I want to go see is Caleb Williams in this passing game, because you look at this Rams secondary, they're not as good as their front four. The front four we got to worry about, but I do believe in our pass protection, our O-line. What are we, fourth in sacks given up in the season or whatever? But I think it's the passing game. I really do. I think you put it back in Caleb's hands again, and you see what he can do, because I think that is the weakness of the Rams, if they have one, is the passing game. So, Caleb, you responded in a pressure situation last week. You played pretty well the entire game, I thought. And he plays well in big moments, and it just keeps getting bigger each week. So, Marshall, I think it's the passing game, which is weird because it has been the running game that has kind of got them there. But I think the passing game this week against this Rams team.
Can they not run anymore? I mean, it feels like we just talked about it.
It's interesting, man. It looks like it's back to the way it was at the beginning of the season. You got a lot of free runners. I don't know if it's communication issues. It's all the way across the board. It's when you have issues like that, it's not one thing. It's everybody doing a little something wrong at a different time, and that's what it looks like. There was Quay Walker came through once or twice on the end of round, and it looked like they had the wrong point or Mike or whoever they were going to. It just looks like communication errors right now. But the good thing is we've seen them fix it before, right? So I think they can fix it again, and it is a strength, and they have enough talent up there to get it done. So I think they can get it fixed.
We're talking to Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, Patrick Manley on 670 The Score, Raheem Harris and Grody. Patrick, I also want to ask you about this before the Nico Horner news broke, and I feel like we're going to have a lot of that speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But before that broke, we were talking about Ben Johnson after the game on Saturday saying, I think accepting that this is the identity of the team this year. And then he also brought up that in training camp, he had Grady Jarrett and Joe Tooney talk about being a part of the 28-3 Super Bowl that ended up seeing Grady Jarrett's Falcons lose despite that lead, as we all know, and the Patriots and Joe Tooney's team coming away with the win. What do you hear as a former player when you hear that? Because to have some of that stuff happen in training camp, you never know how those lessons are going to manifest during a season. I can't believe that it has come through this way in 7 fourth quarter comebacks, and you've seen the team take this to this extent.
Yeah, what the word that comes to mind is details. That's a coach touching every detail that's out there. That we've seen them take care of all the details in the games and stuff like that, but that's game management. That's just talking about there might be one game that comes down to the fourth quarter. Well, I was almost cussed there. Well, blank, 7 of them have, right? But it's amazing how it kind of Ben Johnson keeps like manifesting answers for all this stuff. But to me, that's taking care of all the little details, knowing that something like this will come up in the season, but you don't know it's going to come up this much. You don't know that's going to be the identity, because there are a lot of wasted meetings where you'll sit there and the coach will run through scenarios and situations or just give this talk for 15 minutes. You're like, oh my God, what the heck are we doing? It's never going to happen. Then some coaches give you these talks, and the next thing you know, we're like, remember back in January he talked about this, or in April when we came back he talked about this? That's Ben Johnson. I think that's why he is worth $13, $14 million and why he was such a coveted head coach, that he knows how to cover all these little details. And it seems like, he seems like magical how they seem to come to fruition. So that's what I see, Layla, is just details, that he's on them all, game management-wise, all, you know, just what's going to happen in the future. It's just details. And it's just been amazing to watch him coach this season.
I don't know why I was don't know why I was just thinking this, but could you imagine Lovie Smith doing the whole good, better, best thing and and saying bleep the Packers?
Come on, guys. Good, better, best. Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
I'll see you on Tuesday.
Patrick, one of the things that's kind of slipped through the cracks as far as good, better, best goes is the way that this special teams has kind of evolved over the course of the season.
That's a huge one. That's another
season.
One this week, guys. That's another one.
We talk about, you know, hidden yards and everything else in between, but how much better, from your estimation, is this special teams, whether it's the punt game, the return game, whether it's the field goal unit having been as solid as it has been all season?
Yeah, it's, I called it buttoned up, and that's what he's done this year. He's buttoned up all the little issues of leakage on punts, leakage on field goals from last year. And now he's kind of the aggressor. You saw the first play of the game last week. They ran that fake reverse. So now that's out there. Like, oh, my gosh, if I'm the two running down, the outside guy running down on the kickoff, you've kind of got to stay still. Maybe he's setting up a you bend it back or a counter, you call it, or whatever off of that. But it's little things like that that he's been able to do all season. And then I'll go back to what I said earlier is details. And I wonder how much that is Ben Johnson, you know, harping that with him as well. I want to know how much Ben Johnson knows about. He's seen, Ben Johnson seems like to me as a coach that knows everything. You know, sometimes you bring an offensive coordinator in as a head coach and that's kind of all they know. And they know maybe clock management, but he seems like a guy that knows defense, offense, and special teams. And I just would like to know how much of his influence has been on Coach Hightower as well. But more on the special teams, guys. This week, the Rams, they fired their special teams coordinator after week 15, I believe it was, and they have bad special teams. They are not very good. They've been leaky, gave up a punt block last week. So I'm putting a lot on Richard Hightower and his game plan this week to see what he can do to help the Bears win this game. It's a big one for Coach Hightower.
Yeah, for me, that's the one clear advantage I think the Bears have over the Rams is special teams.
Yes, it's a big one. I mean, it's a real. They've changed their kicker. They've done a lot of stuff, and they've got guys on their roster. I was looking at some of the tape, and I'm like, who is this guy? And you got to go down to their practice squad to find these guys that are elevating before the game. And if your practice squad guys are coming up the week before, that just tells you how many limited reps they've had that week and or that season in the games to get ready for these games, and you can take advantage of those guys.
That is Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear, the playoff winning edition of Patrick Manley.
Oh, Bear.
Doesn't that sound nice?
One more week. Let's do one more of these, and then let's do one more after that, and let's just keep it going.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Hey, Grody, start believing, will you please, Dan?
You know what? I am pretty close to being in a place where I will not pick against the Bears anymore this year. Like, I'm going to pick them for three more wins.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you on Sunday, see if that changes.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, man.
You got a whole week to change it.
I do not want to incur the wrath of you or Olin. That seems like dangerous business.
We might just hang up on you again, maybe just cut the segment. We'll talk to Mully.
Dramatic. I love it.
But I like it. Yeah. Thanks, Patrick.
You're the goods, buddy. Take care.
All right, we'll see you guys. Yep. Have a good week.
Thanks, Patrick. That was Patrick Manley, the longest tenured Bear. We get to talk to him because the Bears have extended their season, so that's enjoyable as well. It's something we brought up earlier. First of all, if you got any more hot takes about the Bears game, did it finally settle in for you that the Bears actually won? Where's your adrenaline at? You can call us and text us, 312-644-6767. We wanted to give the phones another day of calls just in case you guys had anything that you wanted to talk about that you didn't get to discuss with us yesterday because it was such a busy show. And in the meantime, I'm going to get into that 28-3 game a little bit more. Not the actual game itself, but the effect it's had on this team, along with a lot of the veteran leadership they brought in. So we'll do it all next here on The Score.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And we just, I thought since it was such a lovely day yesterday and we had so much energy from our callers, from our listeners, everybody on Twitch, YouTube, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your energy. We are vampires and we all used it to our advantage. So I thought we'd do it again. More inside the locker room. More calls.
More arrogance.
More asbestos. So in this case, I wanted more calls because like you get bonus stuff. More meatball machine. We got another edition of the meatball machine at 145. Because
meatballs.
When the Bears win, everybody wins. Mm-hmm. So bonus call segment. Bears playoffs, 312-644-6767. We start with Kelso on the south side. Hey, Kelso.
Everybody wins. Everybody eats, B. Let's get it. Hey, Layla, great appearance on the House of L podcast over the weekend, too. I watched it. That was awesome.
Thank you so much.
Listen, you talk about the identity. Make this real quick. Let's not overthink this. This ain't week five. Well, we got to, like, go in, tweak out to the bye week, get Calvin Nunn, got more touches, use more 13 person. No. The identity of this team is number 18. Let's not overthink this. Let's not do this. Ben Johnson's not coming from under an 18-point deficit in the fourth quarter with Jared Goff. Tyson Bagent's not making that fourth and eighth pass that's probably will be the most important play in Bears history. This is this kid's team. And I know, Pat made the question a few weeks ago and had Marshall and Grody going back and forth about who's the most important. Listen, I love Ben, but I feel like in big games, not scheme-wise, but decision-making, Ben has made some questionable calls. And, like, Caleb has saved him. Let's just be honest.
Ben has admitted that. Ben has admitted that at times throughout this. Not recently necessarily, but there have been times where he has expressed that he smooths out mistakes that he makes in his play calling from time to time.
Exactly. And one quick thing. Look, Kyle Shanahan, top two, top three. Coach in this league. He's been to multiple Super Bowls. But what does he always have? Like, he got the best scheme in the world, but he don't have that guy. We need to wake up. We have the guy. We have Neo in the Matrix. We finally have him. The NFC Championship is on the line this Sunday. We've possibly getting there in Caleb's number 2 year. We have him. Let's just say it. He's the identity.
Love it, Kelso. Love the energy.
Yeah, I love it.
And yes, when the Bears eat, everybody eats.
Danny
that is
Parker
the concept.
Would be so happy to hear someone refer to Caleb Williams as the one. Remember when he was trying to tag him with that nickname?
The one?
Oh, yeah. Parco. Just trying to take credit for stuff. Yeah.
You're just trying to start something with Danny, even though he's not here.
It's like a hit and run. Like, I talk bleep about him, and then you guys are left to talk to him,
yeah,
and I'm not here.
Thanks for that, Mark.
Oh, no. Trust me. Was it last week when he was on? He and I were jawing back and forth pretty hard. So he gets at me, and I get at him.
Well, I was terrified that Danny mushed the Bears.
He almost did.
And so was everybody who listened to this show. Let's continue with our calls. 312-644-6767, the bonus Bears playoff winning edition of your calls on this Tuesday. Tim in Northbrook, you're on the score.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Tuesday. Let's not continue to bask in the glow of the Packer win. Let's move forward. Let's
Why not?
Act like we've been here. We're done. Let's move forward.
Some of us haven't been here.
No, but let's act like we have been. And let's talk about the Rams. Where's Grody with all the stats on
Rams talk takes place on like Thursday and Friday, sir.
Here's some stats.
Turn the Page Industries has not said you can turn yet.
I'm actually kind of with him. I think I expressed that. Like, I'm sort of torn between loving this celebration, but I can't stop thinking about the next game because I'm so excited about the next game. Puka Nacua, here's some stats for you. 1,715 yards, 10 touchdowns, a 13.3 yards per catch
is
average.
That a lot?
Davante Adams, not nearly as big, the 789, but he has 14 touchdowns and a 13.2 yards per catch average. Kyren Williams, the fine running back. He has 1,252 yards to his name this year, and he rips off about 5 yards per carry and 10 touchdowns as well. How's that for some stats for you, Tim?
Those are absolutely great. How about Stafford being in our division all those years?
Yeah.
What was his record at Soldier Field in cold weather? I'll let you guys hash it out. We'll talk to you soon. Go Bears.
Is there an answer to that?
Well,
or
I know he's,
or is he
I don't
leaving
know,
us to
I
do the research?
I just got transported back to like 1993 when you'd call the sports host who was the internet before the internet, and you'd ask him trivia like that, and he was the one who like kept it.
Yeah.
That's where I went back to. Also, he should have asked what Matt Stafford's yardage total is. 4,707 yards in the regular season.
Thank you,
I got
Layla.
That. Now, I will say 1-8 was his record coming into this year in games in cold and snow and or rain. because he does not do well in cold weather. But he was on a podcast with Jim Gray, and he was talking about how he's very comfortable with the idea of playing cold weather. He's excited to
the
be
the idea of it.
Well, it's because he did play in Detroit for all those years.
I know, but that was inside. It was inside.
He played road games, and so
he did was in Green Bay and Chicago.
He is from where I am from, and I have my nose running at about 73 degrees. So that is the Matt Stafford version that I would like to envision.
Yeah, Puka Nacua, not so much with the whole cold weather experience.
But when you're hoping for the elements, you need to get a better game plan. Really the case. You can have it factor in, but there's got to be X's and O's to back up what was undoubtedly the league's best offense. And we've got a couple of days to talk about it.
We do. And look, I've been hearing all the comments on weather and Bears weather, and it's really just player for player, team for team, because some of that was, I don't know if debunked is the right word, but took a big bite out of Bears weathers in the 80s when the 49ers were just annihilating the Bears when Walsh was just doing a job on Mike Ditka back in the day, and everybody thought
the
here.
West Coast offense.
Yeah, well, and everybody here then thought, oh, they don't have a chance because of Bear weather, so they kind of debunked that, but there's been times like, and we'll talk to Allen Robinson. I'll bring this up to Allen Robinson when he comes on. In that game against the Rams in 2018, the Rams were freezing cold. None of those players still exist, so it's not an exact parallel. It's not a parallel at all, but that's just an example of a time where a team from the West Coast was negatively affected by the weather. The Rams were cold that night, and they wanted to go home.
Before the next caller, just one stat, since that guy wanted stats so badly.
Well, we're giving them to him, so congratulations on programming this segment.
That's all right.
125.4 passer rating for Matthew Stafford. That's 125.4 with 32 touchdowns and one interception when facing the blitz this season. Think about that.
It's not good, especially if the Bears don't get it together in the first half and Dennis Allen's only thing would be to put more pressure on in the second half.
Back to you, Mark. Let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767 and Frederick on the south side. Hi, Frederick.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up?
Man, so I just got to tell you this story. I'm fortunate enough to be at the game Sunday. And, you know, right before it, I happened to see A.J. Pruszynski. I'm kind of fired up, like, yeah, A.J., man, nice to meet you. A little fired up, make my way to the field. And I'm remembering that Parco said he was going to be on the 50. So I said, oh, yeah, let me stop by and see Parco. So I see him, man, give him some nice dap. He's complaining about how hard I hit his hand. And then, you know, I dapped up his friends. And then the kid with him, he's got on a Packers jersey. I don't really pay attention to him because he got a Packers jersey. And I'm like, not this guy. And I kept walking, right? Then by the time I get back to my seat, I'm like, oh, man, that's probably Brad's kid.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I done helped Parco mush this thing. So I feel bad. I'm not too far away. I'm like on the 40-something. So I make my way down there to him and say, hey, man, I just realized this is Brad's kid. Hey, man, nice to meet you. Give him some more, you know, some dap. I was like, all right, I felt a little better. Like, all right, I didn't contribute to the mush. Now we're down 21-3, and I'm like right around what Layla's talking about. That's when I was like, oh, man. But then the missed field goal helped me go, all right, maybe, you know, perhaps. And then, man, we're just going through all this doom. And then right in the fourth quarter, right around the five-minute mark, I hear, don't stop believing. And I'm like, oh, I just saw AJ. And then I get fired up again. Things got better for us. We end up winning, man. Made my way back to Parco and them afterwards, man. Gave him some more dap. He complained about how hard it was, man. And I just had to get that. And I was like, oh, man. Layla and them gonna think I contributed to the mush. Oh my God.
He's a fragile man.
No, you canceled everything.
Maybe you canceled it out, the mush.
Also, I like that each time you said hi, you were worried about mush like getting contagious on you. Like that's what
no
made
question.
Wait, did you get to see AJ? Like, did you guys get to say hi or what?
I did. I walked up to him, I said, AJ, he's like, yeah. I'm like, man, just honored to meet you. That was everything right there. I was fired up. And then when I heard Don't Stop Believing, I was like, all right. I've been to every game this year, so that feeling, I've been there, man. It's a crazy feeling. But it was a lot of doom. And I thought, doggone, how could you do that? It was incredible.
Did Don't Stop Believing get everybody fired up? Because I would think that that would hit at a really good time in the game to make that happen.
You could tell a few knew. I know I was into it. I was going, man. Green light. I was going nutballs. It was crazy.
This is the best story. Frederick, thank you. I love that you told us all of this, and you got to say hi to Danny and AJ. What
a
day.
You almost hurt, and you hurt him, too. Danny, so fragile, just a fragile man with his zigzag back and the whole thing. I think your mic's off, by the way.
Oh, it doesn't.
We're really having
much.
Trouble with our mics today.
My bad. I thought I turned my mic on. I pressed the button and everything earlier.
You guys got to keep the mics on over there. We're having troubles today. You know what it is? It's like we haven't had sleep. We haven't had sleep. But, you know, why would we want to turn our microphones on?
No, Grody is actually drinking. Are you together, coffee and the LaCroix?
I had to go to the coffee early. I told you guys. I told you in the break. I said, uh-oh, I'm bragging about all my adrenaline, and it's like I'm starting to feel the little decline. I am just now coming off the Bears game.
Do you
it's
want me
happening
to
in real time.
Dustin Rhodes you and punch you in the arm a few times
whatever,
to wake you up?
Like, you'd think that the cold conditions in the studio would keep me awake, but no. The coffee is doing the job.
Take I do the clothes. Opposite.
Yeah. I do have a t-shirt on underneath this. I may resort to that. We'll see.
When it's cold, I just sit there and I just want to conserve energy. I just sit there like a lizard.
Right.
I don't move.
Maybe a little blanket, maybe a bear's blanket.
I'm a lizard.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I think I asked you this. When if you fall out of the tree in the cold in Texas, do we just leave you alone or do we come up to you and wake you up? Do we let you sleep until you wake up at that point?
Technically, the lizards in the trees fall in Florida. So I don't know because Florida is not my area.
Okay.
I got to contact somebody about that.
Okay.
I just want to know
procedurally, I just need to know, Layla.
And you're right, yes, on Twitch. I like to sit on hot rocks, actually, and bask in the sun. That is a thing, because I'm a lizard. Let's go to Artie and Elgin. Hi, Artie.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Listen to you all the time. So I'm telling you what our identity is, and I figured it out on that last Detroit game, and then again, they proved it on Saturday. Ben Johnson and this team have perfected the art of the rope-a-dope. What we saw on Saturday was the football version of the Rumble in the Jungle. That was Foreman and Muhammad Ali, and we rope-a-doped them. We've been doing it. This is the seventh game we've done it. Ben Johnson and this team, they don't want to show it at front in the beginning. That's what happened against Detroit. They came out with this mundane plan. Okay, we win, whatever. We lose, whatever. But then we didn't look so good. And Ben just said, look, we need to show y'all something. And he decided we're going to score. We scored twice. And then said, look, we're going to drop two-point conversions on you because we want to. And then that's what is happening here with this team. And that is what we are going to be doing the rest of this season for sure. That's that rope-a-dope, baby. You got to bear down.
Artie, love it. Man, see, just like the game. The energy at the end of the call segment was fired up. And now I have something for you next that will get you even more inspired. Here at Raheemy Harris and Grody, and perhaps even all of 670 The Score, we relish the tears of our enemies.
Mm.
Especially when they put them online for everybody.
So many tears.
The tears of a clown, more like. There are a bunch of clowns over there.
Coming up next, you remember those fake play-by-play dudes I called out yesterday? They're on next.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime here in Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score, and we began talking about what is Ben Johnson's identity. I don't exactly know yet. I think it has something to do with how he shook Matt LaFleur's hand at the end of the playoff win. Then we found out the news from Jeff Passan, who threw it out there, that the Giants are looking for a second baseman, and Nico Hoerner, along with the Cardinals second baseman, are the two that were mentioned in this. And obviously that's notable because Nico Hoerner has 1 year left on his deal. Brendan Donovan was also a part of the discussion as well. Then we get this news, by the way. There is some breaking news on The Score. Breaking news is brought to you by the Take the North podcast.
Love you so much.
I've decided that in this meantime.
The best.
The Cardinals did confirm a trade. They traded Nolan Arenado.
What?
And Jack Martinez from the Arizona Diamondbacks. So Nolan Arenado is now also, along with cash considerations, everybody's favorite, is now going to Arizona.
Okay, they finally did it.
I enjoy myself some cash considerations at any time.
But you're right, Mark. They finally got it done.
They've been talking about this for a couple of years. And I lost my cash consideration because of the pick that I made. And apparently I'm not allowed to give out Bears anymore. It's a one-day suspension.
You're allowed to give out Bears.
One-day suspension.
So I mentioned this when I got fired up after Tyler Buterbaugh's open yesterday, the fake play-by-play dudes.
Seven Bears.
There's a video that has gone viral, and it should, a montage of these guys. I guess they're on Twitch or something. They're doing play-by-play to somebody, their moms, hopefully. So they've got to, you know, that's the thing. Even if you don't do what we do, you have the setup where it looks like you've got the microphone and the headset on at home, and, like, that's you. And I get it. You have to do this stuff to practice to become a play-by-play sportscaster.
I don't think that's why they're doing it.
I don't either. I think they're doing it to massage their own egos.
Well,
so let's listen in.
You got one chance. Your season comes down to right here.
Jordan, oh, my God. Fumbled snap.
Bad snap.
Throw it!
Nope. Last play of the game. Love. Scrambling. Love. Resetting. Love. Throws it.
That's going to be incomplete. That's the game, and that's the season. Right there. Bad snap because you're down to your third, fourth string center.
And it's dropped. Game over. Season over. Packers blow it. $55 million a year.
Oh, God, that is heartbreaking.
You dropped the snap on the last play? You're joking!
Well, Packers come up short. One hellacious, hellacious meltdown from the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Meltdown is that is an accurate term.
That was not nearly the meltdown I thought it was going to be.
The facial expressions are pretty great.
Okay.
And one of these guys is on Twitter. His name is Corey Behnke. And he also was not happy with Matty Ruffles. He wasn't happy with Ben Johnson. He says, I know it's theater. I know it's entertainment. However, anyone who heads an NFL team saying blank the Packers, and he didn't say blank, is a classless piece of blank. He didn't say blank either.
I'm serious.
It was all fun and games, and now you made it personal. You can't have it both ways, Corey. Can't run your little broadcast there. And be all happy when your team wins. And then when another coach wants to fire his team up for once in this city against your team and come back against you twice, can't do it. And this guy seems nice otherwise and is a gardener, and I love all of that for him.
He's got nice, a green thumb.
He's nice because green, he's a gardener. Well, has decided that he's a good guy because he's a gardener.
No, I read all his other tweets, too, and I'm just like, okay.
She went down the proverbial rabbit hole.
No, I do that all the time.
It's just due diligence.
You know what it is, Layla?
So I think Corey's all right as a person, but on a fan standpoint here, come on, Corey.
Corey's just not used to being on the wrong side of the hammer meets nail. He's just not around. Because in this rivalry, he's like, where's my landlord? Where's the guy? Where's Aaron Rodgers? He's gone.
Your landlord ain't walking through that door, honey. No. This just became a co-op.
Wake up!
Yeah! Yep.
I'm back up. Whoa, I just jolted back up to 7. After hearing Surge!
Is that how you wake up with Molly and Haw?
Yes. I got to hear that. I did. Well, I told you guys already. I literally listened to that song, Chop Suey, a couple of times on my walk home yesterday. Literally.
From the Starbucks?
From the Starbucks, yeah, I did. I started by putting caffeine in my system, just to.
And you still needed an extra jolt after the caffeine was injected into you.
I know. I was hoping to channel the energy. I needed something. I needed my brain, myself. I probably should have just worked out. I walked.
We'll figure it. Hey, that is quintessential. So, the fake play-by-play dudes with your podcasts and such. Come on, man. Why are you putting this on? You felt bad for them, didn't you?
As you said, the looks on their faces, and I was like, they just are really not used to losing in this fashion. And they're not used to. Think about it. The last time these two teams played in the playoffs, they were probably still young. They didn't look that old. They were middle-aged. And the Packers won that game and went on to win the Super Bowl.
No, and then you know what I said? Marshall's like, I feel bad for them. Like, you talked about just putting that out there in that way, and you know what I said? I was like, are you kidding me? These are the same dudes who have 5 different burner accounts telling us how bad we second date and do our jobs better.
Okay, I was gonna say,
but Corey's is verified, and he has a lot of other stuff on there.
Oh, he paid the money to Elon. Okay.
I mean, cool. I don't know. I assume, which is, but yeah, I just can't. I can't be totally mean about it. I just can't. I don't know enough about the dude, and there are other things that I'm like,
Yeah, I didn't think they were nasty towards the Bears, and that's what I thought was going to happen, but it didn't.
I know we have 5 minutes, but I want to play this phone call. I think we have time. And Tyler, you found this. Tell us how you found this.
So the Fan Milwaukee, our sister station, they went live on Twitter the morning after on Sunday morning, letting fans grieve over their loss. And I came across this one caller who he just sounds off on Matt LaFleur, and it's pretty good. So take a listen.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is a dark day in Wisconsin. The reason I'm calling is to fire LaFleur, not because they lost the game, but since LaFleur's been here, their special teams have totally sucked. They have not improved from one year to the next.
Nope.
The other couple other things is he gets a lead, and like the previous caller, the big leads. This is not just this year. This has been a pension of his since he's been here. He plays to not lose in the second half. Now, what? When you're throwing the ball all over the field in the first half, mixing up all the calls, end arounds and everything, jet sweeps, and all of a sudden you go so conservative in the second half. I mean, it's terrible to think that in the fourth quarter, they were averaging 1 yard a run in the second half. It was terrible. And then the other thing, LaFleur is a terrible game manager. How do you call two timeouts within a minute late into the fourth quarter?
Yep.
And then you come out with a delay of game. This is not the first time this has happened. LaFleur is a moron, and I think he spends more time, honestly, not to be facetious, worrying about his hair at the shop than he does in his play calling.
Wow.
Because what are they doing? They come week after week after week, ever since LaFleur's been here. Oh, he comes from the West Coast. That West Coast thing, I think, is gone. You give me a coach and a quarterback with some testicles, I'd rather take them. You look at Williams yesterday. He didn't even hit 50% of his passes, yet he's beat the Packers the last two times. I need a gritty quarterback.
Not to be facetious.
But also, Caleb Williams literally did hit 50% of his passes.
And I thought he said pension at first, but I realized he said penchant. Which is, the midday show appreciates a good vocabulary word. That didn't change.
We also appreciate a good pension.
Did that accent come thicker and thicker as the call went on?
Oh, hell yes, it did. Absolutely.
That was amazing.
That was a very Chicago thing to say. Not to be facetious, but I'm about to make a joke about his hair. Here it comes.
I don't think
ready
he was
for the
being
joke.
Facetious, though.
I don't know that the hair
joke.
Takes much effort, really. You just part it to the side
See,
a little
that's the problem.
More.
He's saying he's putting more effort into the hair than the game plan.
Also, I would just like this take this time to acknowledge that our sister station, we have one of us there in Rami Maklouf,
the Rom Dog,
and we have civilized yet fun conversation with our colleagues.
Quadruple
and
agent.
They don't do the. They don't include props. They don't do stupid shtick.
John Kuhn.
They just do their damn.
John
jobs.
Kuhn's a good man. I don't like John Kuhn the player because of the Kuhn thing that
right.
we had to hear for years.
Yeah,
but he's good at his job, and we love Rami.
It's kind of like me versus Corey, the broadcaster, versus me versus Corey, the person.
Exactly.
I just don't know that I can be mad at the person.
You got to separate
Fine.
It.
Fine, Ray. We'll go to break. I just, I admire people who know how to garden is the thing. 5 on it is next.